Hey everyone, it's Marielle. And before we get to the show, I want to warn you. What you are about to hear contains explicit language, adult themes, and may not be suitable for all listeners. Discretion is strongly advised. Enjoy the show.
Huh? Who wrote that on my thing, Polite Moonwalker?
I definitely did not.
What does that mean? I guess that's the name of this episode. So we're using Squadcast to record, and it has Marielle's email on her side using her name, but mine says Polite Moonwalker. I didn't do that. I don't know.
That's so weird. Hello.
Buenos tardes. Welcome. Bienvenidos to the Women of Death Row.
We are now translating every episode to Spanish.
Yep. Oh my God.
Japanese.
Any language.
Konnichiwa.
I can do it.
Hello.
Welcome to the Women of Death Row.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Marielle.
Thanks for listening. We hope you're doing okay. What are you up to? How are you doing?
If this is your first episode, we're sisters, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I've been working on a paper about the Ryan Ferguson case today.
Oh.
So, of course, this morning I got up and watched Dream Killer, so I've been reading about that. I had to write my paper.
Man. Oh, yeah. You're still in the school mode, but you're almost done. Your last day of class is this week, right?
Next week, I think the 12th officially.
Nice.
So
that's when the dimension will be shifted. So
yeah.
Anyways, why don't I tell you a life story about Celeste Simone Carrington?
Okay.
All right. So just a warning about this story. Is it a story? I've been like wondering, like,
case, story, it's whatever.
It's a case. I wrote case, so I don't know why I said story. So this case involves an incestual rape and of a minor and other violence in a household.
Oh gosh.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to introduce to you the story and case of Celeste Simone Carrington. Celeste was sentenced to death on November 23rd, 1994, for murder and various other charges, including aggravated robbery.
Any relation to Rodney Carrington?
Oh, who's Rodney Carrington?
I think he's a country singer. I have no fucking idea.
Rodney Carrington
Association. I can't even think of his song.
He is. He's an American comedian.
Oh.
Stand-up comedian, actor, and country music artist.
Oh, interesting.
Girl, your trivia knowledge points went up. Okay, anyway. So on this, I'm going to share with you the timeline of the crime. And then, that's where I will be starting.
Okay.
I'm listening. On January 17th, 1992, Celeste Carrington broke into a Dodge dealership located in Redwood City, California. Celeste had worked at the dealership as a janitor with a janitorial company that services multiple businesses.
Genius. And so she had access to all those keys.
And she knew where all the back entrance, all the entrances were. And she knew that this particular dealership kept a back entrance. The back entrance was often left unlocked. So she went that night with gloves and a crowbar, which she had used to force open several of the interior doors. During that burglary, she stole a .357 Magnum revolver and 5 bullets.
Damn.
So on January 26th, 1992, using a key, she broke into another company and, armed with the gun she'd previously stolen from the dealership, she encountered Victor Esparza, who was working as a janitor. And he recognized Celeste from the same service company. And they had a brief exchange. But then Celeste ended up robbing Victor of $45 and an ATM card before shooting and killing him. Celeste would later tell investigators that she had intended to kill Victor and felt powerful and excited by the experience. Probably adrenaline, too.
Yeah.
On March 11th, 1992, Celeste entered another company where she previously worked using a key. Armed with a revolver, she shot and killed Caroline Gleason, who was on her knees begging for Celeste to put the gun away. Celeste ended up proceeding with killing Caroline and stole $700 and her car. Caroline's car.
Whoa.
On March 16th, 1992, using another...
These are just like right after the other.
Yeah, there's not much time. The longest period of time was between January and March. But, yep. So she used a key, again, from her janitorial job. She broke into a doctor's office with the intention to rob it. She encountered Dr. Alan Marks. She shot him three times before fleeing the building. But Dr. Alan Marks survived and later testified against her in court during trial.
Good.
So Celeste Simone Carrington was born in a quote-unquote tough part of Philadelphia. She's the oldest of four children, and she was parentified at an early age due to her parents' alcoholism. Both parents were reported to be abusive. However, her father allegedly raped and beat her.
Fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. Celeste was pregnant by age 14 with her father's child.
Oh, my God. Where is this again?
The crimes took place in California, but she was born in Philadelphia.
Right.
So okay. Now as a young adult.
So not Alabama.
She enrolled into community college in California. So she left Philadelphia for California, where Celeste excelled in track and field and competed internationally in shot put and discus.
Wow.
And she competed in the 1986 gay games.
Huh. Is that like homosexual gay?
Uh-huh. Yep. Like an Olympic games for gay people in the 80s.
Interesting.
She won a silver medal in javelin, J-A-V-L-I-N.
Which that's is like the one, you know, that throwing. Yeah.
Yeah. And she won another silver in shot put and a gold medal in discus. And I looked up the 1986 Gay Games winning roster, and she's on there.
Whoa.
Yep. So I'll put that in the post and on the website, too. Oops, there you are. I clicked on the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. All right. So around 1990, 1991, Celeste was fired from her job with the janitorial company for allegedly stealing checks. Celeste then allegedly grew very depressed because without a job, she wasn't able to support her lover and her lover's three children. So prior to the robberies and murders, Celeste Carrington had a clean record. Not even so much as like a traffic ticket. On November 24th, 1994, the judge sentenced Celeste Carrington to death. Whoa. She became eligible for the death sentence for the special circumstancing. She became eligible for the death sentence due to the special circumstances with the murders, like the robbery and the crimes were vicious, cruel, and callous, as what the court described them.
So she said she just did it because they needed money to provide. But why kill the people?
That's a good question. That's clearly there's not some good judgment like there.
Because like she had no crime history and she's just going to start robbing and killing people all of a sudden.
I mean, she lost her job and was stressed. I mean, in acts of desperation, you got to rob the dealership and who knows? I don't know. I can't. I guess, you know, you could have a total change during the stress and.
Yeah. How old was she?
She was born in 61, I think.
If she was in her like 20s.
Mm-hmm. She was really young. She was young.
Fuck, man. So she has not been executed. She's still on California
she's
death row.
Still at California's death row. Yep. She was born. I don't know why I didn't say what year she was born. Anyway, she was 30 around age 30 around the crimes.
Mm. That's nuts. So wow. That seems the death sentence seems excessive.
Yeah, and you know, she grew up in poverty. Also, let me finish this and then it'll there'll be some things that kind of make you wonder and you'll have a lot of questions. Let's see here. All right, Celeste appealed her sentence in 2009. And in her appeal, her lawyers argued that the Palo Alto police had illegally searched her apartment and obtained evidence that led to her confessions. Hmm. So officers from that department, Palo Alto department, accompanied Los Altos police, who had a warrant to look for evidence of two burglaries. When the Palo Alto police saw a key and a pager connected to Caroline Gleason's killing in plain view of the apartment, the court said they stopped the search and went back to court and got a warrant to look for evidence of the murder. So they were there on a warrant for burglaries, but they saw
more incriminating evidence.
Mm-hmm. So even if the Palo Alto police were there on a pretext, Chief Justice Ronald George said in a ruling that they were entitled to be present at a legitimate burglary search and acted properly by not touching anything until they obtained another warrant.
Yeah.
Also, he said that the police interrogation in which one of the detectives told Carrington that told Celeste that Caroline's shooting was, quote unquote, probably an accident. And another officer suggested that Celeste had nothing to lose by admitting to Victor's murder, which ended up not amounting to any promises of leniency that would make the confessions involuntary.
Hmm.
So her appeal was upheld and she remains on California's death row.
Damn.
So I think, you know, you got to wonder about the search of the apartment too. Like, was that stuff just in plain view? And if anything, that speaks to the judgment. But when you have a Black woman who's been arrested for these events, you have to wonder about, okay, was maybe anything intentionally planted? Mm. Or was leniency promised and then they take it back? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that was Celeste Simone.
Damn.
Carrington, not related to Rodney.
Nope. He is a white man.
Yes. I tried to find a picture of her at the gay games, but I didn't see any. I couldn't find any.
Dang.
But yeah, so I have an update.
Oh, really?
About Vallows. So Lori Vallow had a hearing on May 1st for a bond reduction, which was denied, and her bond remains at $1 million. But there's a preliminary hearing this on the 7th and 8th of May. So in that hearing, her defense attorney was suggesting that her bail should be reduced to $100,000 or $250,000. So that way she could go home, but they're not letting her go. So the bail hearing had been pushed back. So they're expecting this preliminary hearing to be really, really long. And they're expecting.
Can they do it? Because social distancing and stuff, are they going
to
do it?
That's they want to proceed, but because of COVID and social distancing, they're not sure. But she's being charged with child abandonment, I think it's what it is. Where did this? I was watching this guy's video on Reddit, and it's like a 20-minute video of like a whole fucking update.
Let me see if maybe he has a text for it. Doubt it. But that's what that she's being charged with, and she's being investigated for fucking those murders of her sister-in-law and all that.
Whoa.
Yeah, and her attorney keeps seeking delays.
Of course.
But anyway, preliminary.
So what is it supposed to be? A preliminary hearing? So they could do that by webcam.
That's what I was thinking, too. Let me just look up her preliminary hearing, Lori.
It's not like the grand jury or something right now. That's when it's going to be tough. Like, how the fuck are you going to get a jury?
Oh, here we go. She's facing 5 counts in the case of her missing children, 7-year-old Joshua J.J. Vallow and 17-year-old Tylee Ryan. 2 felony counts of desertion and non-support of dependent children, and 1 misdemeanor count, each of resisting and obstructing an officer, solicitation of a crime, and contempt.
Shit.
Anyway, but yeah, that's all I have. Not a whole lot. Because not a whole lot's going on right now because of COVID.
Right. So I'm mad. As soon as I saw a Santoya Brown documentary, I was like, I watched it. And, you know, you hear her narrate throughout it. So I thought, like, she was a part of it. And then, I see yesterday that it was just made by that white dude. She didn't get paid for it. She doesn't, like, she had nothing to do with the documentary. I'm pissed. So I want to read her book.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, we can buy her book. I wonder if it's on Audible. And that's how you can directly support Santoya Brown. Because that's shitty. And it's shitty for Netflix putting it up there. Then that's not long ago.
It's crazy how different shit was in 2004. Like, they were really calling a 16-year-old a prostitute.
16 years old. They didn't see her as a child.
And she was so little, like, you could tell. And just the way that cut dude manipulated her and groomed her. Mm-hmm. It's like, imagine how often that happens. Like, not just with, like, sex trafficking, but, like, getting girls to, like, sell drugs, stuff like that.
Yeah. No focus. But I think the older we get and the more we hear, you know, educate ourselves and learn and unlearn that language, too. And just educate about the warning signs.
I watched Rain Man. That was so good. Oh, my God. That's stood up the test of time, that movie. Tom Cruise is such a dick in it. Dustin Hoffman's amazing. I still have it rented on my Prime if you can watch it for free. It'll expire tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Shit. Well, yeah, I'll watch it. I finished Little Fires Everywhere with Kerry Washington and Reese Witherspoon. Really good. I want to read the book, but it's 8 episodes.
It
was excellent.
Is it a cliffhanger or is it just one season?
It's kind of a cliffhanger. There's questions. Like, I feel like this is just the first part. So also, Dead to Me comes out on the 8th. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I was about to say, another documentary I watched, A Secret Love, about the 2 women who were lesbians. They met in the 40s.
Yes. Auntie Pat and Auntie Terry, you know, they were like, we just knew them as Auntie, and I don't know if that's their names. But,
And I love the aunties or the girls. I love their names were Terry and Pat because those are the most lesbian names ever. Oh my God. It's so good and precious. Terry actually played in the All-American Women's Baseball League in the 40s.
Oh, and yeah.
It has a lot of really cool archival footage and, like, home videos, which is, I'm obsessed with that stuff.
Definitely. Like, some of those scenes on Mad Men, even though they were created, like, I lived for because it was that type of footage. But even on A League of Their Own, they had some of that.
I love some good archival footage and home video. Yeah. It makes me want to watch that movie now, too.
Oh, my God. So yesterday, I have the worst reflux I've ever had in my life. It just hit me, like, in a wall, like, under my boobs, you know? Oh, my God. It was awful. And I didn't want to go to CVS or anything to go get Tums. So I just, like, 2 hours ago, I remembered Googie's our grandmother and who we call her Googie. She sent me home some food and on it, she taped
two Tums with a note that said antacid for dessert. And I just remembered I had them and I took them. And I feel so much better.
Perfect. I love it. Leave it to Goog to even give you the antacids. I love it.
I know. She thinks of everything. So anyway, social distancing sucks. I'm kind of ready to, but I know we can't. Like, I know it's not the time.
Not yet. I'm still shook that there is a strip club that is not in Kansas City proper. It's actually in the Kansas side, sort of almost out in the boonies. It's called Whispers KC. It's a strip club, and they opened like two nights ago. They opened the 29th. Yeah, I don't understand how that. And I only know that because I follow a stripper who works there. And yeah, she made a post saying, like, who's going to be at the reopening with me tomorrow? I was like, what? A strip club?
What?
It could be on the low. On the DL. It's in Leavenworth County. Interesting. Wonder if they have different rules. Oh, my goodness. Gosh, what else is going on? Oh, I restarted. I didn't restart. I've never seen any of them before. The Real Housewives of New Jersey. And I want to watch all of them. There's so many.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Hot Wives? It was the parody version. Yes. Look it up on Hulu. It has, what's her name from The Office? Angela from The Office plays one of the Hot Wives.
Oh, really? It's so, okay.
She was in Black AF.
Okay. She was also on, what did I just watch recently? That was so fucking funny. Okay. I'm thinking of Black AF. Oh, but she was also on something else recently I watched. Maybe not. But I did see Mindy Kaling's, what was it called? Never Have I Ever.
Aww.
Oh my God. It was so cute. It was so cute and heartwarming. That's on Netflix. Yeah. That's pretty much all I've been doing is watching shit. I rearranged my room. I got a new duvet and stuff. New mirror rug. So that's all coming. I'm pretty excited. I think I'm going to get rid of my headboard and footboard and push my bed against the wall. We'll see. But the show, yeah, the show's called Never Have I Ever. Well, hope everyone is doing okay.
All right, polite moonwalker. I love it. It's like you just like walk in a room and you just really low key start moonwalking. Is that what that means? Let me not interrupt. I'm just going to politely moonwalk over here to this door.
Politely. Like I don't get anyone's
way. I'm so confused by that.
Politely, so I'm not showing off.
I'm really just sorry. I'm just trying to get by.
All right. See you later.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.